Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday of Independence Week. I just promoted the whole thing to a week, but it's now Independence Week. You're probably not working Thursday. If you are, I'm sorry about it, but otherwise you'd probably be eating hot dogs and doing all that kind of thing and watching the fireworks because it's the big summer weekend or summer week here in America, in the United States, and we're delighted to have you with us here today. We'll still be on the air on the 4th of July. If you need your Catholic Answers Live fix, we'll still be there. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and we have just two wonderful priests today. And you're just going to love how we're handling Monday of Independence Week. Our second hour, our chaplain will be here for the chaplain is in. This hour, we talk about the church and same-sex attraction, and we talk about it with a man who is tasked with leading one of the finest ministries of the church in that area in the whole world. Father Philip Buchansky is our guest. He was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia in 1999. In 2017, he was appointed Executive Director of Courage International, an apostolate that provides pastoral care to men and women who experience same-sex attractions and have chosen to live a chaste life. He's an award-winning author. He's published a bunch of articles and books, one of which we'll probably get to mention in a little bit. Father Philip Buchansky, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thanks, Cy. It's great to be back on your show.
So I note that, by the way, you're welcome to call if you have a question for Father Buchansky, whether you are a person living with same-sex attraction yourself, maybe a family member, maybe you just have a question about Catholic teaching in that regard. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I guess the basic question, and I know that I've asked you this on the air before, but people are interested in this, why do we say same-sex attraction? Why do we not use the more fashionable terms?
Well, I think it's a decision that we've made for a couple of reasons. One is because the church asks us to put the person first. When Pope Francis gave his first big interview in September of 2013 to Father Spadaro, he talked about a time when someone had written to him about asking about what the church teaches about people who experience these attractions. And when he was reflecting on that experience, he says, you know, in life, God accompanies persons, and we must accompany them starting from their situation. We must accompany them with mercy. He says, you know, we start with the human person because here we encounter the mystery of God's plan for human life. So rather than define a person by one aspect of his or her experience or use a label like gay or lesbian or LGBT that has, to be honest with you know, a lot of political baggage sometimes has meanings in society that maybe people who are trying to live the church's teaching faithfully wouldn't agree with or wouldn't subscribe to. Rather than use those labels and kind of limit our understanding of the person, we put the person first, and we talk about a person who experiences same-sex attractions because people experience them in different ways at different times in their life, from one person to another, and so I think to talk about it in that way as part of a person's experience shows respect for the person and gives that person the space to tell his or her own story, which I think is where our pastoral care really begins, listening to people's stories.
We are talking about same-sex attraction this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Father Philip Buchansky is our guest. He's the director of Courage International, an apostolate of ministry to those who experience same-sex attraction. In Courage is related to Courage. What's in Courage, Father?
So In Courage was founded a few years after Courage for parents and spouses, siblings, other people whose loved ones are experiencing same-sex attractions, and generally those loved ones are identifying as LGBT and perhaps not practicing the faith like they used to. And so their parents and family members come to us for support and encouragement and to ask the question, you know, how do I keep the faith and keep my family intact? And so Encourage groups give family members a place to, you know, talk about what's going on in their own hearts as well as in their families, to express the pain or concern that they might be feeling, and just to support one another in handing things over to the Lord that are out of their own control and really trusting in God's plan for their families and their loved ones. So both Courage and Encourage groups meet regularly with their chaplains to pray together and really just support one another from our experiences.
888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. I've noticed in the news a lot of reference to 50 years since the Stonewall riots. I guess that puts them back in the 60s. You know, the coverage is very positive and all that, but I just wanted to throw it out to you. It is, in fact, the case that people who have been identified or have identified themselves as gay people have, in fact, faced tremendous persecution at times and meanness, and things do seem to have gotten better in many ways.
Well, yeah, I think it's just a fact that people have experienced mistreatment in their families, sometimes in their parishes and other religious communities, in society in general, and the church is the first to call that out. You know, in the Catechism, it says that people who experience same-sex attractions must be accepted with respect, compassion, and sensitivity. And the Catechism, of course, was published in the late 90s, even earlier in 1986. A very important letter from the Holy See about pastoral care for people with same-sex attraction said it is deplorable that homosexual people have been and are the object of violent malice in speech and in action, and such behavior deserves the condemnation of the church's pastors whenever it occurs, that the intrinsic dignity of each person has to be respected in speech, in action, and in law. Of course, the document goes on to point out that the way to combat unjust discrimination and mistreatment and unkindness towards people with same-sex attraction is not to change the church's teaching or to pretend that it doesn't matter, but to teach to convey that teaching in its fullness, that there's a call to chastity and also a call to charity, that we have to encourage one another and really help one another to live virtuous lives, and also greet one another with a warm welcome and a real accompaniment from the heart that meets people where they are and leads them to where they need to be. So it's very welcome that people in our society are hopefully not receiving as much harsh treatment as they once did, but at the same time, you know, our responsibility to them is to speak the truth in love, always to greet them as Christ would do, and to give them the good news that the Lord has entrusted to us, that the chastity and all the virtues lead to happiness and fulfillment.
888-318-7884, the number. We're talking same-sex attraction with Father Philip Bochansky this hour, and lots of people want to talk to you, Father. Shall we go to our first call?
That'd be great.
All right, let's go to Louise in Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Louise, you have a question for Father Bochansky?
Yes, Father. My husband has a nephew that is gay, and, you know, we've never talked about it. I mean, I've never talked about it with the nephew and I live in, but now he's going to have a big wedding in I don't know where. And I know we're going to be invited, and I tell my husband that we really should not go. And I don't mind not going, but what do I tell my nephew, this nephew, when he asks why we didn't go or I didn't go?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of that will depend on what kind of relationship you have, how close you are. But what I would recommend would be to reach out to him, you know, as soon as if you get a save the date notice or an invitation, try to get in touch with him very quickly. You know, it's in person if you can, and just, you know, tell him, hey, I love you very much, and nothing's ever going to change that. I'm glad that you have someone that you care about and who cares about you. And if we were talking about a friendship, I'd support that with my whole heart. But my faith tells me that marriage and the sexual relationship that marriage involves is made for a very particular context that is based on complementarity and openness to having children. And that outside of that context, I can't believe that it's what God is asking you to do or the place where you're going to find your fulfillment. And so I couldn't come to a wedding and say that I think this is a great idea and lend my support to it when I really think that God's plan for you is a different kind of relationship. But I'm not trying to ruin your day, and you don't need to agree with me to make me happy. And I wanted to tell you face to face. And you know, this is what I'm saying. You should say to him, "I wanted to tell you face to face where I'm coming from, and you know, when you're at your wedding, I'll be praying for both of you to understand how much God loves you and to understand God's plan for your life. And you know, I understand if this, you know, you can tell him, I understand that this seems unkind and it's not my intention, but I hope that someday you'll be able to understand where I'm coming from." So I think just to speak from the heart as best you can about what you believe about marriage and sexuality and what you hope for him, and to remind him that you'll be praying for him and that you won't stop loving him just because of this decision that they're making to be married.
Okay, Louise.
Okay. Thank you, Father. God bless you. Right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Louise. Thanks for calling.
Well, I was here too, Louise. I mean, you're just thinking, oh, well, whatever. Father Philip Wojcianski is our guest. He's the executive director of Courage International. Your calls are welcome as we discuss Catholic faith, Catholic belief, and same-sex attraction. 888-318-7884. Right back with more of that right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage? And ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I met the Pope when he came to Washington, D.C., and from that moment on, I knew that I had to combine my faith with journalism. I've always been pro-life, but have never been able to talk about it in the news. And now, not only do I share it internally, but I share it with a global audience.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn. Tonight, 9 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I love Monday shows when they're good ones like this. This is not one of your bad Mondays, Darren. You did a good job this time. Father Philip Wojcianski this hour, Father Hugh Barber next hour, Chaplain Azin next hour. This hour we're talking about same-sex attraction. Oh, and before I go back to the phones, our apologist Trent Horn has a new MP3 out related to this topic. It's called It's called A Catholic Guide to LGBTQ+. It's available now at shop.catholic.com for only $199. Wait, no, I'm sorry, $1.99. I got to read this right. Sorry, that's a very expensive bit of audio. Look for Trent Track's banner on the main page and get your copy. And he does these like once a month, so there you can just keep looking for these Trent Tracks, where Trent spends an hour talking about a topic. Again, our guest this hour, Father Philip Wojcianski, is the director of Courage International, and there is about a million people that want to talk to him. So we go now to David in Chesapeake, Virginia, listening on EWTN there. David, your question for Father Wojcianski.
Yes, Father Wojcianski, first I want to thank you very much for your leadership in what is, I've come to realize, is such a polarizing issue in the church. I am an Encourage member, although we don't have a chapter in our diocese. I'm working on that. We do have a group of us that meet in person. What I'm struggling with or trying to determine is what we as laity can do in light of priests and bishops who publicly affirm and support the LGBTQ lifestyle by having these pride masses. It really makes it difficult for those of us that have a child that struggles with same-sex attraction, and they see church leadership acting contrary to what the church teaches.
Father?
Yeah, I think you hit on a very important piece of this discussion in terms of how it's affecting you as parents, you know, and trying to love your children, trying to love the church, and when a bishop or priest does something that seems to be contradicting what the church is teaching, it makes it much more difficult for you to have that conversation in a loving way in your own family. So I think to find ways to bring that to their attention in a very calm, respectful way, like a letter or asking for a meeting. Because I think I want to believe, and I really do believe that the vast majority of priests and bishops who would take the kind of position that you're describing are doing so out of an abundance of compassion, that they want to they don't want to say things that they think could be hurtful or offensive to people who experience same-sex attraction. And so that leads them to maybe not say everything that they ought to say, to leave out, for example, the church's call to chastity, and to lend support in ways that hopefully it's not their intention to confuse people, but end up having that effect. But I think if we start from the presumption that they're doing that out of an abundance of compassion, well, then we have some common ground to speak to them from, because we can say, Bishop, I know that you think that you're doing the right thing by taking this position or emphasizing acceptance and respect at the expense of talking about chastity. But here's where I need your compassion. Here's why I need you to understand where I'm coming from. That when we are not getting backed up by our leaders, it makes it that much more difficult to have a good, calm conversation in our families, and then in my family with my loved one who's identifying as gay. You know, it's harder to show love and to speak the truth in love as I would like to. So I appreciate, Bishop, that you're being compassionate, but I need you to keep me and people like me in mind as well, and realize that it's that sometimes what you do in order to not hurt one group of people has unintended consequences and makes things more difficult for another. So I think just to find a way, very calm, very polite, very just speaking from the heart, and if you can have friends who are in a similar situation share their testimony with him as well, and just to ask him, you know, could you rethink how you're approaching this, so as to speak the truth in love and include all of us on every side of this issue in the way that you speak and teach in your diocese. Does that make sense?
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, David. That made sense to you?
Oh, you can hear me? Yeah, I have done that. I've written to priests and bishops and, you know, asked them to support courage and encourage and to proclaim the church teaching about chastity, and it just seems to fall on deaf ears. There just doesn't seem to be an interest in doing that for some of the priests and bishops.
And another thing to do then would certainly obviously be to pray really hard for the gift of the Holy Spirit to, you know, soften hearts where necessary, to enlighten minds where necessary. And if you found good resources, whether from us or from another source, I think to share some of those resources with them. I mean, it may not be that they're opposed to the teaching as much as they're not quite sure how to present it in a compassionate way. So if you've heard a good presentation that makes sense to you, maybe pass it along to them as well.
David, thank you very, very much. As I said, there are loads and loads of calls for Father Bochansky today, so we will probably be moving relatively quickly. The number 888-318-7884. One thing I do want to let you know, if you're listening and this would be of interest to you, helpful to you, would fit in your schedule, there is a national conference of courage, and it's coming up this month, and registration is going to close in just a couple days. So July 18th through the 21st in Chicago, the National Conference for Courage coming up, and Father Bochansky will be there, and lots of great speakers, and Was that an adequate invitation, Father, or should I?
Yes, indeed. I mean, I would just expand a little bit and say it's actually an international Courage and Encourage conference. So we welcome people who are living with same-sex attraction, whose loved ones are in that situation, as well as priests and other people in ministry who'd like to learn more about this particular part of our pastoral ministry. And we'll have people coming from various countries in Latin America, as well as Canada and the UK. We'll have a simultaneous translation available in Spanish for people who need that. And we try to make it accommodating for our Courage family around the world. We're now in 18 countries, and so we're glad that so many of them are able to come to the annual conference.
That's this month, the 18th through the 21st in Chicago, Illinois. Up next, Jim in Atlanta listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, channel 130 EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Jim, your question or comment for Father Philip Bochansky.
Thanks. Hi, Father Phil. My question regards, I believe it's pronounced Gaudium et Spes. Uh-huh. And there was an article published today in the opinion section about a woman who and her husband and children went to the Supreme Court when the marriage ruling was overturned. And yes, she had said that a priest of hers had told her that the formation of conscience of the person is more important than anything, and that you have to follow your conscience above everything. And that kind of put me at ill at ease, so to speak, because that would destroy my entire faith and what I believe and what I hold true to the Catholic Church. So how do we refute that?
Yeah, no, I saw that article in the New York Times this morning. I'm really kind of surprised that they would run something like that on their opinion page, because she wasn't talking in that article about polite disagreement. She was talking about resisting the Church. That it's a responsibility of Catholics sometimes to say that the Church is wrong because their conscience tells them otherwise. And I think, I hope she's writing with good intentions and sincerity, but I think she got some really bad information from that priest that she talks about in the article, because she's seriously misunderstanding how the Catholic Church approaches the issue of conscience. She's right, and you're right to point out that Gaudium et Spes and the Catechism, building on that document, sees conscience as an absolute right of each person to understand God's plan and God's will, and to put it into practice freely in concrete situations. But as Pope John Paul pointed out, freedom doesn't mean freedom to do whatever we wish. It means having the freedom to freely do what we ought to do, right? To follow God's plan because we are his children, and he's given us free will, not because he's forcing us into it or taking away our freedom. So when we're talking about conscience, we have every person has an absolute responsibility to inform his or her conscience, which means to listen to what the Church is teaching, and to understand the source of the Word of God for us is the Sacred Scripture and the living tradition of the Church, that the magisterium has the responsibility to put that forward for us in an authentic way. And going back to the Gospels, the Lord Jesus says to the apostles, whoever hears you, hears me, and whoever receives you, receives me, whoever rejects you, rejects me, right? So the Lord has promised he's going to speak to us through the apostles, and we've always believed that means through also their successors, the bishops. And so when the Church teaches something clearly, and it certainly is very clear in its teaching on homosexuality, then that teaching is not optional. A well-informed conscience, a conscience that is trustworthy and that we ought to follow, agrees with the Church when the Church speaks very clearly on faith and morals. It's not possible for God to say one thing in the Scripture and another thing in a contradictory thing in an individual person's conscience, right? It's not possible for God to say, I'm going to speak through the Church, and I'm speaking through the Church clearly here, and then for someone else to say, well, but my own heart, my own mind tells me that the opposite is true. God can't contradict himself. And so if we're going to use our conscience the way that God intends, our conscience means the freedom to take in and understand and apply to a concrete situation the word of God as it comes to us through the sacred scripture, through the sacred tradition, and through the authentic teaching of the church. And if our conscience puts us at odds with that, the problem is with our conscience, not with the church.
Jim, thank you very, very much for that question. And in case you missed it, the New York Times ran an article this morning with a headline, How to Defy the Catholic Church. If you're a Catholic person and you don't get what you're involved in after headlines like that, I think you might be missing the boat. Father Philip Bochansky, our guest. Lots of calls for him. More right after this.
In his new audio presentation, The Very First Fathers, apologist Jimmy Akin takes you on a tour of the earliest Christian writings outside the New Testament, from the most famous figures and most notable works to those lesser known but no less important. This pivotal time in the development of the early church is revealed in fascinating detail. Jimmy shows how, even in the first century after the resurrection, it was necessary to defend and explain truths that are still under attack today, such as the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist and the perpetual virginity of Mary. The Very First Fathers is a compelling look at the dawn of the Christian age and edifying listening for anyone who wants to understand and defend the full truth of Catholicism. Order your copy of The Very First Fathers today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew that she wanted those things, that in them somehow she would find God. Over the years as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for an on-fire Catholic speaker for your event? Catholic Answers speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
I'm Gloria Purvis.
And I'm Deacon Harold. The Morning Glory team talks about how not to be Catholic.
Tomorrow morning, 7 Eastern. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Philip Bochansky, our guest this hour. Father Bochansky is a priest of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, living in Connecticut right now, because he is the executive director of Courage International, an apostolate to those experiencing same-sex attraction. If you have questions about same-sex attraction and the Catholic Church, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Up next is John in St. Louis, listening on 1460 AM. John, your question for Father Bochansky.
Yeah, so I was listening to the news the other day, and in Indianapolis, I guess there were a couple high schools that one had to let go a teacher with same-sex attraction and the other didn't. And I just wondered how the first one doesn't go in violation of the catechism saying that we should avoid discrimination against people with same-sex attraction.
Sure. So I think it's important to clarify a couple of things about the situation in Indianapolis that you have in mind. One is that actually both of those schools were instructed by the Archdiocese that the Archbishop did not want them to renew the contracts of these teachers. One school agreed to follow what the Archbishop said, and the other, the Brebeuf Jesuit High School, is saying that they're not going to follow what the bishop is asking them to do. Actually, the two teachers involved, it's come out since then, are actually in a civil marriage with each other. And that's really the point, is that they weren't fired, or their contracts weren't renewed, not because of their experience of same-sex attraction, but because they had entered a civil same-sex marriage, right? And the church is very clear that the experience of same-sex attraction is not a sin in itself, that no one is to be excluded from the life of the church simply for the fact of being a person who is experiencing same-sex attraction. But marriage is by definition a public and free act, and it's very clear that marriage, which establishes a permanent sexual relationship between two people, is in contradiction to a very important teaching of the church that says that homosexual sexual relations are never appropriate because of the reasons that the church lays out in the catechism. What's happened in Indianapolis and in other places around the country is that the Archbishop is simply applying the policy of the church that people who are involved in leadership ministries and liturgical ministries, and especially in the Ministry of Catholic Education, have to be living their faith in order to give good example to the people that they're serving, and not to confuse them about the teachings of the church. And when a person takes a position that's contrary to important truth of the faith, and takes that position publicly so that other people are aware of it and are confused by it, especially when someone is doing such a public thing as getting married in a way that the church would see as an invalid marriage, they're simply saying it's not possible to invite that person to teach, because by the way that they're living their own lives, they're giving an example that's contradicting the faith that they're trying to teach. So does that clear it up for you,
John?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very, very much. You get the feeling sometimes, Father, and you can just tell me if this is way off the too far off the topic, but bishops need to be a little more willing, maybe, to just let institutions go. Sometimes I think, well, it's always been a Catholic school, it's always gonna, but if they don't want to, accept the teaching of the Catholic Church or transmit that faithfully to their students, I think more bishops should get the feeling it's okay to let them go. You don't need everything.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I think that could create an even more difficult problem, which is where you have institutions like a high school that's run by a religious community, who's saying, well, it's okay with us if we are separated from the hierarchy of the quote unquote official Catholic Church, because we're still teaching Catholic values as we understand them. We're following our informed conscience, as the president of Brebeuf has said, and giving the faith as we understand it. We can do that without having to be in communion with the local bishop. That's schism, right? And heresy, to say that you can have quote unquote faith-based institutions that are teaching Catholicism or run by a Catholic order of religious that are like on purpose not in full communion with the hierarchy of the church as it's embodied in the local bishop. That's an even worse situation than the confusion that they're already causing by having faculty members and who are not living the faith.
I feel like you just wanted to be more mature than me on that one. next up is Bella in New Jersey, listening to EWTN Channel 130 on Sirius XM satellite radio. Bella, your question for Father Bochansky. Hi, whoa, hold on, Bella. Have we got you there, Bella?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, your question.
Yes, I have a 13-year-old daughter that she just told me that, she's bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And so I just don't know, besides me telling her, that I love her regardless of, her, preferences. I just don't know if this is just a confused stage at this time, or if I don't know. I don't know how much to support. She wants to support the Pride Month that just happened, wearing a bandana, and I don't support that. Mm-hmm. But then how can I support her that I love her but don't support the lifestyle?
I think, you know, especially because your daughter is so young, right? The main thing to concentrate on in your conversations with her is, as you say, that you love her very much, and that, you know, one of the things that you want to share with her because you love her is what you believe about God's plan for her and for her body, for her sexuality, for her present and future relationships, you know, and that, you know, right now the main thing to concentrate on is understanding who she is as a daughter of God and as a woman who's created in His image and likeness with a vocation, and the importance of the virtue of chastity. So I think, you know, I think maybe where you focus right now is to say, well, look, wherever your heart is pulling you in this direction, that direction, you know, right now we're not talking about marriage. We're not talking about a long-term relationship. You know, right now the thing is to try to understand, you know, what's going on in your heart and what's God's plan for you, and to live the virtue of chastity, which means, you know, avoiding things that are sexual and understanding what romance is for and things like that. So I think right now is really just a time for listening, you know, for having good conversations with her. You know, you can say to her, I'm trying to understand what this is like from your perspective. Can you just tell me what's going on in your heart? And then ask good follow-up questions. She says, well, you know, I can't stop thinking about these girls at school. And well, then you follow up with that and say, well, what is it that you want in those relationships? You know, is it that you want really good friendships? Because that's good. A deep, lasting friendship is what God wants too. And friendship is different from romance, and friendship is different from a sexual relationship. But let's talk about that. Let's talk about how you're really feeling right now, what you're really looking for. And I think if you can just kind of keep communication open in that respect, you know, helping her to understand who she is, what's going on in her heart, you'll set a good foundation for the future.
Okay. I think that helps, you know, to understand. But what about her wanting to wear like a bandana, like with the rainbow? Is that something, because I don't know if that's a good thing. I said, okay, it's okay for you to wear that. It's okay for you to support, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important to ask her, what does she mean by wearing that? And, you know, she may say, well, I'm just looking to show support for people who whose parents don't get them and who feel left out. You say, well, there's ways to do that, and that's a good thing. But this particular symbol also has a lot of other meanings that you may not be aware of. And, you know, that sometimes people use that as a symbol for relationships or choices that are different from God's plan for sexuality. And so if we want to be faithful to what God is asking us to do and give good example, we should find other ways to show our support that don't involve symbols like that.
Bella, we got to leave it there because, as I said, we got lots and lots of callers. And so thank you for that question. I hope that was helpful to you. Hey, the early church fathers were so important in the growth and spread of the early church, and we've come up with a free ebook to help you understand all about them. Visit the main page at shop.catholic.com right now and click on the early church fathers banner to download your free ebook, Getting Started with the Early Church Fathers.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heartsick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that situation. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Philip Bochansky, our guest. We're talking same-sex attraction today. And up next, we go to Maria in Illinois, also listening on EWTN. Maria, your question for Father.
Thank you so much for taking my call. Father, you know better than most people the heroic lives that many Catholics lead who are same-sex attracted. You know it well. Courage is a fabulous organization. I think Courage probably has an awful lot to add to the international conversation within the Catholic Church and about the Catholic Church, about the role of the potential role of same-sex attracted priests, religious, even bishops. I think our knee-jerk reaction sometimes is to say, oh, this is such a challenge, we must eradicate it. And yet, it seems to me, and I'd be interested to know what you think, and then I'll hang up, it seems to me that Courage could remind us quite beautifully that there are a million ways to live in fidelity to church teaching, and that perhaps many priests, religious, and even bishops are able to do that in a heroic way, and this need not be something we fear. That's my observation, but I'd like to know what you think, and I'll be happy to hang up to listen to your answer. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate that question. The last year in the church dealing with, further revelations about sexual abuse and certainly the revelations about former Cardinal McCarrick and his sexual really assault on vulnerable people like seminarians has led a lot of people wondering, what do we do as a church with the reality that there are members of the clergy and of religious communities who are experiencing same-sex attractions? And I think we've been tending to go to extremes, people on one side saying, the thing is just encourage them all to be out and identify as gay and be, tell everybody about that and that's the way to solve it. And people on the other side with good intentions, but I think going to an extreme saying, well, they're obviously the problem with the church right now. And so anybody who's ever experienced these attractions needs to leave the priesthood and for the good of the church. And, in my experience, there are a number of priests that I've gotten to know, especially this year, who are experiencing same-sex attractions, who are living with integrity in terms of their promise of celibacy and their call, like all of us, to chastity, that they've been reaching out and asking for the support of the church. And it's been a real privilege for me since February to provide some pastoral support for them through an online Courage group that we've started specifically for priests who experience same-sex attraction. I think for them there can be an additional burden of shame involved and of wondering, if people in my parish knew that this was something I was dealing with, what would they think of me? Would they lose their trust in me? Would they understand where I'm coming from? And so we meet regularly online, and it's been a real privilege for me to work with these very fine priests who are supporting one another and living integrated and chaste lives. And I would just ask everybody who's listening to pray for them and for their continued fidelity and integrity. And if you know priests that would benefit from that part of our apostolate, which is still relatively new, please just put them in touch with me, and I'd be happy to work with them as well.
Maria, thank you very, very much for that question. We go now to Monica in Florida, listening on 920 AM. Monica, your question for Father Philip Bochansky.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, I'm a nurse. I work doing home health care for a little boy with Down syndrome and some other physical ailments, very serious. His birth parents are divorced, and his mother has remarried, civil marriage, with another female. They know I'm a Catholic Christian. So it's, of course, I'm there for the patient, the little boy. Mm-hmm. But I wonder a couple of things. One, how do I, without seeming like I'm condoning this type of thing, you know, continue providing his care, or how do I witness in that capacity because I'm in their home?
Well, thank you for that question. I think you hit the nail on the head when you say you're there for the patient, first and foremost. The reason that you're going is to give the best care that you possibly can to this boy who I'm sure depends on you and relies on your help a great deal. And I think the way to bear witness to his mother and her partner is first and foremost by your demeanor when you're with them. You know, remember what we talked about a little earlier, that that we have to welcome and accompany every person in this situation with the utmost respect and compassion and sensitivity. And so just to be cheerful, to be loving, to be supportive, to, you know, when they are having a bad day because of his particular needs or because of something else, to be as best you can loving and understanding of that. And what you'll do is you'll say, you know, you'll demonstrate, my faith tells me first and foremost I'm here to love and care for anybody that God puts in my path. And then, you know, if you have a chance to talk about faith, you know, to tell them that you're Catholic, you know, well, then they may have questions or want to talk about, you know, well, what do you think about the situation that we're in? And in that case, you answer them cheerfully and honestly. And as St. Paul would say, you speak the truth in love and say, well, you know, my faith tells me that there's a very particular context for sexuality. And so, you know, I can't say that I would agree that this way of living together is what God intended, but you know, that's what my faith is telling me, and if you'd like to talk more about it, I'd be happy to, but if it's too personal or we just want to disagree, I understand that as well. So I think you're going to lay a good foundation by just treating them as every other as you would anybody else in their situation, and loving them as best you can, and then being open to questions that they might have, and speaking the truth in love.
Thank you, Father. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Monica. It strikes me, Father, that maybe it bears mentioning again. I don't know, but our society has become somewhat sex obsessed in general, and the sense of any faith that a chaste life is possible is missing. I mean, people think that's absolutely outrageous that people even talk about chastity in many instances. And that makes it particularly difficult to talk about same-sex attraction and to talk about the church's teaching, because it's just one part of a much broader teaching that most of the world finds insane these days.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's why it's so important to stress that the call to live a chaste life belongs to every single person, whatever our state in life might be, and so all of us have to have a responsibility in that regard. But it also means we all have the opportunity to speak from our experience about the goodness of chastity and the freedom that it brings. You know, so as a celibate ordained person, my job is to demonstrate to the world that a life without sex is not a life without love, right? That being celibate and not having a sexual partner certainly doesn't leave me miserable and lonely, but it actually is setting me free and building me up and giving me hope and giving me happiness. And I think married people who are faithful in their marriage and who understand the connection between their love for each other and their ability to give life with God's help, you know, they testify to that and how they rely on God's plan, how they're open to life, how, you know, how this relationship, this intimacy is part of the bigger picture of their relationship. Like, they've got married people who are living their vows and living chastity according to their state in life, they have a witness to give as well. And single people who are dedicated to their families, their communities, who are living chastity, we each of us have, from our own perspective, a chance to build up one another and to testify to the importance of friendship, to the beauty of spiritual fatherhood and spiritual motherhood, to say these things are not consolation prizes. They're not second best kinds of love for people who can't get married. But you know, that living our vocation means making a gift of ourselves, as God directs us to, living virtue, especially the virtue of chastity, living friendship authentically, and that all those things set us free and build us up.
Mark, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, you are next. Your question, please, for Father Philip Bochansky.
Thanks for taking my call, Father. I just had an idea that possibly a duality, what you're doing, the work, excellent work you're doing right now, and then trying to take a look if we can agree that there's about 7.5 million of us, of God's children on earth right now, and there never was that many, of really making a concerted effort to find out why so many, in terms of 5 to 10%, they tell us, of human beings, of the living, loving God's children on earth right now, why we can't do some serious research and find out why this is happening from a scientific point of view. Does that make any clarity, my question?
Yeah, I think I understand where you're coming from. You know, one thing to mention is in the Catechism makes a fairly short statement. It says that the psychological origins of same-sex attraction remain largely unexplained. And I think that's pretty much all that the Church is going to say about you know, where these attractions originate. First of all, because the Church is not doing social science or psychology, she's doing theology, right? And but I mean, we can look at psychology, and for example, the American Psychological Association on their website says that there's no consensus among scientists as to how a particular set of attractions originates, that most think that nature and nurture are involved, and that we have to look at a complex interaction of various factors. And I think that gets to the bigger issue, which is that we're not just talking about specimens, right? We're not doing scientific studies on the brain or on genetics or on, you know, kind of isolated from real life, but we're always talking to individual people. And something as profound as sexual attraction gets right down to the heart of a person's sense of self and a person's network of relationships and desires that God puts in the heart, and the various ways that we think about ourselves and the various ways that we understand what we're feeling. And that's a very, very complex thing. I don't think we could put all the money that we have into it. And, you know, we'd maybe still be missing the mark in the sense of, you know, there wouldn't ever be one story that fits every person, because each person is a unique, unrepeatable individual with his or her own story. So it kind of brings us full circle to where we started today with the idea from Pope Francis that, you know, we must accompany persons starting from their situation and really take their own stories seriously. And I mean, there are psychologists who work with a lot of people who experience same-sex attractions and speak about it, and they can identify certain factors that seem to be common in a lot of people's stories. But mainly our goal is to meet people where they are, to talk to them about the good news of chastity, and to accompany them along the rest of the way.
Mark, thank you very, very much for the call. Thanks to everybody who called. Father Philip Bochansky is our guest this hour. Next hour, Father Hugh Barber will be here. For the chaplain is in. If you have a question that would be appropriate for a chaplain, the next hour is your hour. I don't want you to forget, Courage International is an apostolate to those who experience same-sex attraction, and you can find them. What's the website that people should go to find Courage?
It's Courage RC. The RC stands for Roman Catholic, right? Mm-hmm. CourageRC.org.
And that wasn't the part I didn't want you to forget, though. It's that there's a big conference coming up. Courage International will have its international conference July 18th through the 21st in Chicago, Illinois, where I am told they have really good pizza. I'm sure you can find that as well at CourageRC.org.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I got panicked there for a second. Father, may we have your blessing before we go?
Sure. May the Lord bless you and all your listeners, their loved ones, and all the people that they care about, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Bochansky, thank you so much. It's always such a treat for us when you come in. You saved the church from schism that I was proposing halfway through the show today. That was good. I hope we'll get to do this again soon.
Yeah, not the schism part, but yeah, it'd be great to talk to you again.
Yeah, so okay, fair enough. Hang on for Father Hugh Barber. The chaplain is in. Your questions welcome at 888-31-TRUTH right after this.